Women have been and still are underrepresented in STEM fields. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, with very few positive figures to look up to. But Yeva Plikusienie's fate was different. She was surely exposed to gender divisions of roles and positions in society, but she never considered a different career path than that of being a scientist. When asked who her role models are, she replied, "For me, the role models have always been prominent scientists, world-class explorers, people dedicated to knowledge and a desire to know, creating a better world for people to live in. For me, these are Marie Curie, a two-time Nobel Prize-winning scientist, as well as Katherine Johnson, a Black woman, a mathematician at NASA, and Maria Goeppel-Mayer, who was awarded Nobel Prize in Physics for her discoveries concerning nuclear shell structure. Today we celebrate the 11th of February, the United Nations International Day of Women and Girls in Science. On this day, we remember and honor the achievements of women, both known and unknown, who have paved the way for those of us in science today and give the opportunity for children, girls, and boys to choose role models in science. On this extraordinary occasion, we want to introduce you to the work and dedication of a researcher who, despite her young age, is already an enormous inspiration to young girls who want to start a career in STEM. Yeva Plikusienie is one of those scientists whose work has made a significant contribution to the development of measures to combat the COVID-19 pandemic. And, rightfully, she is our contemporary superheroine. Welcome to Daughters of Marie, where we give space to our contemporary female role models. From a shy introvert in her laboratory, Maria Skłodowska-Curie, famed scientist and two-time Nobel Prize winner, was nothing short of an iconoclast. Marie influenced her daughters, yet let them blaze their own paths. Irene followed her mother's footsteps into science and was instrumental in the discovery of nuclear fission. Eve traveled the world as a foreign correspondent and then moved on to humanitarian missions. But Marie's deeds inspired women scientists for generations, who followed in her footsteps too in the past century and nowadays. With a reputation which will hardly fade in the upcoming years, Marie collected countless disciples and is the first female role model of her kind. In this podcast, we will have honest conversations with distinguished women scientists of our times. The daughters of Marie, in fact, talk about their careers, the obstacles they have encountered and still encounter as scientists, mothers, and superheroes. My name is Yelena, and I am part of the Sphere Consortium, an inspiring group of professionals dedicating their lives to make research institutions more equal. Sphere is a project funded under the Horizon 2020 Framework Program, with a mandate to initiate institutional change in 9 European research performing organizations by implementing gender equality plans as a key instrument to improving gender equality. What we advocate is a more gender-balanced educational environment, a strong dimension of gender in the research content, hand in hand with a reduction of structural barriers. We are here to inspire you, challenge you, and offer our community of learning as a support. We believe in a space where your full potential is unleashed and your dreams come true. Let's meet our woman in science. Yeva grew up in a family of scientists. She's already the third generation scientist in her family. And in her own words, science has always been around, I have had the opportunity since childhood to understand and see how it works. According to the researcher, her grandfather, who comes from a large peasant family, was the author of the first Lithuanian five-volume textbook on algebra, and he worked as a scientist in the fields of civil law and environmental protection. Both her father and uncle are physicists who have done a lot in Lithuania in the fields of semiconductors, superconductors, magnetism, and quantum chemical sciences. Her older brother is also a physicist, and her mother is an English teacher. Therefore, there were plenty of role models to be inspired by. Since childhood, she was interested in physics, especially in astrophysics, and her big dream was to have a telescope. She was growing up in a post-Soviet Union country, and in that period, life in Lithuania was very different from the rest of Europe, from countries which were not in the Soviet bloc. As her father was a scientist, after Lithuania gained independence, he started to collaborate with scientists from the United States. And her first trip abroad was to Huntsville, Alabama, when she was 13 years. This journey was full of the first times. She remembers the first flight, first stay in a hotel, first time abroad. After a long travel, she woke up in the morning and her father led her to the window and said, "Look." She was fascinated because she saw a space shuttle through the window of the hotel, and they were staying near the Space Museum. After, they visited the Rocket Construction Center. "This view was enchanting me," she said. "I imagined that one day I can do work like this." Since then, she knew that she wanted not only a telescope, but to build a space shuttle too, and to know as much as possible about space, and that one day she will be a scientist. She obtained bachelor and master degrees in physics, but later she was involved in the field of physical chemistry and obtained her PhD in chemistry. Yeva had her ideas very clear since she was a kid and pursued her ambitions strenuously. A bachelor's and master's degrees in physics and a PhD in the field of physical chemistry at Vilnius University. Since then, she has been working at Vilnius University for over 10 years, and she's an associate professor at the Faculty of Chemistry and Geosciences. She's currently doing a postdoctoral internship at Nanotechnology and Materials Science Center Nanotechnos. Her supervisor is outstanding, one of the top Lithuanian scientists, professors Almira Ramanavičienė. But Yeva breaks stereotypes in yet another way. She's a superhero. Traditionally, superhero films have relied on classic gender role divisions by depicting a physically strong male hero intending to save the world from destruction, or an intellectually elevated man who develops a cure for humanity in his laboratory. Women were usually kept at the margins, served mainly as sexually appealing and supporting characters. If they had more significant roles in battles, they were often smaller than their male counterparts and motivated by less noble motives like personal revenge. Yeva's work has reversed the fate of millions of people fearing, struggling, and recovering from COVID-19. She specialized in optical biosensors, which help characterize the proteins used in rapid detection tests for coronavirus, and can also be used for the characterization of antibodies developed in human body after recovery from this infectious disease or after vaccination. When the pandemic started, more than 10 years of long experience in the field could be immediately applied to the public good. Yeva recently won the prestigious Laurel Baltic Award for Women in Science for this scientific contribution. This award is presented in cooperation with the National Commission for UNESCO and the Lithuanian Academy of Sciences. It aims to recognize and value young scientists who make a significant contribution to scientific progress. Although the situation in Lithuania is encouraging, this Baltic country has the largest share of women researchers in all EU countries, which is about 58%, the trends in the world are different. At EU level, women make up around 41% compared to approximately 30% worldwide. And there are only 70% of top researchers or academic leaders. Only about 4% of Nobel Prize winners. This underrepresentation leads to poor visibility and inevitably to lower pay. Our scientist's luck is to have role models in her immediate work environment. One of them is the supervisor of her postdoc project at the Faculty of Chemistry and Geosciences of Vilnius University, Professor Almira Ramanavacieni. "I'm very lucky to be part of Almira's team," she said. "She's one of my current role models as a scientist, a woman, and as a person. One of the most important results of our collaboration is the L'Oréal UNESCO for Women in Science Award and the number of scientific publications that we prepared together. I know Almira for many years, but we started an active collaboration about 2 years ago. Almira is one of the top Lithuanian scientists, and she teaches me a lot. And I'm very happy to say that during this period, we became not only a good team, but friends as well. I know that I can always ask for help and support of Almira in my work or even on my personal, on a personal level. And this motivates and encourages me to work in her team." And we can say that this is how great women and scientists thrive. At home, she's fully supported and helped by her husband. Therefore, she could return to work after a year of maternity leave. But Kieva is well aware of the difficulties that many working moms experience. The fact that the beginning of a scientific career coincides with motherhood is one of the reasons why there are few women scientists in the world. Although girls and boys come to study the exact sciences in the same way, boys are still turning more often in the world of science. Not all women are determined to pursue a career in science due to lack of time. And there are not always opportunities to combine motherhood and a career in science. Top-class researcher, associate professor of Vilnius University, winner of the renewed L'Oréal Baltic Award for Women in Science, Ieva Plikusienė is deservedly the archetype of the spear woman in science that we like and admire.
Good morning, and good morning to all of us who are listening to this podcast, hopefully many of you. I'm here with Ieva Plikusienė. I really hope that I said it well. And she's here with us to talk about her work, her amazing work. So welcome, Ieva, and thank you very much for accepting this invitation.
Thank you very much for inviting me for this podcast.
Very good. So we have a couple of questions for you. When I say we, I mean the Spear Consortia. So I'm just here representing them. So first, we are really, really curious about your work, which is amazing. And we really want to know more about the optical biological sensors that you've been studying and the interactions between the SARS-CoV-2 virus that caused the COVID-19 pandemic and the antibodies. And I will also challenge you, please try to explain it as if you were telling it to a common citizen like myself, not really your daughter, because maybe she's too young to understand, but really something for common citizens in easy words.
Okay, thank you. I will try to explain it as much as possible clearly. So first of all, what is the antibodies and why they are important for us? So the antibodies are produced in our body to protect us against virus, including novel coronavirus that is called SARS-CoV-2. So the antibodies, we are like security guards in a nightclub that do not allow the aggressive visitors to enter the club. So the higher the affinity of antibodies to the specific viral proteins, the better is the protection. There are two most important viral proteins of the novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2. It is spike protein and nucleocapsid protein. Why they are important? So first of all, if you were vaccinated and you want to know, maybe you was caused by a symptomatic form of COVID-19, the only way to know this is to go to the laboratory and test yourself if you have the antibodies against this nucleocapsid protein. Because if you are vaccinated, your body will develop the antibodies against spike protein, but only in that case, if you were infected, the antibodies against nucleocapsid proteins will be developed too. The other reason why nucleocapsid protein and antibodies against this protein are important is the diagnostics. If the high number of the antibodies against nucleocapsid proteins is found in the patients that feel the symptoms of COVID-19, is the signal that these patients have the higher risk to get to the hospital and have COVID-19 complications. So the main protein of novel coronavirus, it's surface protein and it's called spike protein. And this protein is responsible for the attachment to the cells and to the entrance into the cells. If antibodies affinity is high, it will attach to the spike protein easily and do not allow the virus to enter into the cell. But when this novel coronavirus mutates, the important mutations are made especially in the spike protein, and antibody affinity to this protein can drop. That's why it is very important to create sensitive, selective, and rapid detection biosensors, that is optical biosensors, and they can be used for the investigation of antibodies affinity. And using such biosensors, so we can get the information about how strong, how long, how effectively the antibody attaches to the different viral proteins, such as spike protein or nucleocapsid protein. If due to the mutations in spike protein, the antibody attachment is more difficult, it will be reflected in the affinity. So this information can help in the development of rapid detection tests that are now widely used for viral antigens and antibodies detection, for the vaccines development or treatment to cure COVID-19 disease, and of course for the deeper understanding of this novel virus action and how it can be neutralized. So the main part of my work is the development of such biosensors that can be applied for the investigation of antibodies and antigens interaction of the novel coronavirus.
All right. It's clear to me. So I think that you did a quite good job. First of all, I loved the example of the club. Everything even more clearer. And second, you responded well to this challenge. You know, I work a lot with researchers, especially when writing research innovation projects. And I work with the dissemination communication part. And I'm always asking them, yes, but what is the benefit? How can we explain this to common citizens? Why should they trust us? And this is especially relevant when it comes to this novel research, something that is scaring a lot of citizens nowadays. And they're really concerned with that. So very good. Thank you very much.
So yes, it's really the hardest part is to explain not to the scientists, but to common people, what are you doing and how this benefit their lives? Because usually what scientists do, they want to make life better for others.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe this is also because there is a lot of detachment between academia and common citizens. So they don't know what you're doing. And this is why also this podcast and some publications also in easy language, using easy language can help to bridge this gap. My second question to you, maybe you read something about SPEAR and what we're doing. So you know that we are mainly supporting the implementation of these gender equality plans, but something that we're also striving for is to incorporate the so-called gender dimension research. So, and this is also my curiosity. So I've read something about it, but you are the scientist, so I fully trust you. So are you aware of any different effects that COVID has on women compared to men? And if men and women bodies react differently to COVID? And if yes, what can science do to marginalize such differences? And how also gender dimension is somehow, let's say, involved in your work too? Do you ever consider these differences between men and women?
Okay, so I will start to ask from the last part. Actually, in my work, maybe my work is not affected by these differences, but because in my research, I use usually model systems, or if it's real samples, it's equally from men and women. But yes, men and women bodies are reacting differently to this virus and can cause different effects on their health. When it comes to the health, men have generally suffered higher death rates and higher rates of COVID-19 infection, as well as the complication of this disease, than women. One of the theory is that women immune response to the virus is stronger. The immune response to vaccines and infections in generally is typically more aggressive and more effective in females in comparison to males. One more thing, that men usually smokes more recently than women, and this also can affect the number of deaths from COVID-19. So because this is related to gender-based lifestyle choices. And smoking, which affect the level of pre-existing disease, such as heart disease, lung disease, and cancer, can have a huge impact on the outcome from infections such as coronavirus as well. But not only this, also men and women have experienced the COVID-19 crisis in markedly different ways. While men have been more likely to lose their lives from this virus that caused COVID-19, women have lost out more than men in terms of jobs, incomes, and in terms of safety. And as both genders can be seriously affected by COVID, that's why it is very important to investigate the impact on men and women equally. And in this way, science can help a lot, actually. First of all, both of genders have to be included in the investigations and especially in the clinical trials of the vaccines and the treatment and others.
Yeah, this is a very, very good answer. I actually thought about it when I was considering actually this, the gender dimension when it comes to COVID as well. And also because if we do not involve them equally, then the results and effects will be unbalanced and can probably affect in different and equal ways women and men in the future. So another question that I have for you, as you know, we are recording this and having this interview because of the International Day of Girls and Women in Science, so in STEM fields. And you are a representative of such category. And I also know, thanks to you, and we also said that during the first part of this podcast, how actually the situation in Lithuania is quite compared to other countries in Europe and internationally speaking. And also related to this, some of the other, let's say, aims of SPEAR is that of promoting women in science and researchers in academia. One way of doing that is through gender equality plans. And in your institution, your colleagues, the Senate, has approved the gender equality plan for the period 2021-2025. So I was wondering, what are your hopes related to this gender equality plan? How you hope it's going to improve even more the situation at Vilnius University?
Yes, thank you for the question. And actually, yes, I'm very happy that Vilnius University also adopted this plan. And I hope that these documents will ensure equal gender representation and all the highest management levels of Vilnius University, that gender equality principles will be applied in. So the fields where it should be applied and should get the impact, it's a staff selection, recruitment, and certification procedures as well. And moreover, I hope that Vilnius University staff members and especially female researchers will have possibilities to flexibly balance their work and their personal life at the different stages of their career and under different circumstances in their lives as well. One more thing that is very important, that all Vilnius University staff members in the same positions with the same competencies and experience will be paid equally regardless of their gender. So I hope that everything will go through with it. And since I know, and since I have been experienced this as I working in Vilnius University for more than 10 years, this plan is really starting to work very well.
Yeah, and I have to say that you're really, really doing great. So your colleagues working on this gender equality plan, and I know that I did a massive work, and it's really beyond the state of the art when it comes to gender equality plans in Europe. So that's really impressive. And actually also related to the gender equality plan, but more on a personal note. So while I was doing some research about your life, about your career, my eyes were catched by the sentence that you said, because you said in one of your interviews that the best thing that a man ever told you was be an example for me. And the way I interpret this is total admiration for you and your work. And my question is, has it always been like that for you? And have you ever experienced resistance from both male or female colleagues while establishing your path in your career in science?
Yes, thank you for this question. And maybe I am lucky to say that actually, no, I would not say that I have experienced such important resistance from my colleagues. And since the start of my PhD studies, at the same time, I started to work as a lecturer in Vilnius University, Faculty of Chemistry and Geosciences. And really, from all the beginning, I felt the support from my supervisor, Professor Arūnas Ramanavičius. He is also the head of the Department of Physical Chemistry, where I work until now. And he always supported actually my ideas, encouraged me, and especially in that situations when I was not enough self-confident sometimes. And that is very important actually for me. And the administrative staff of the Faculty of Chemistry and Geosciences, including the director of Institute of Chemistry and the dean of the faculty, they also was very helpful when I came back after maternity leave. At that period, my daughter was 1 year old. So they actually helped me to manage my time of teaching and to combine my career with motherhood. And after one more year, I was offered a promotion and I became an associate professor in Vilnius University Faculty of Chemistry and Geosciences. So maybe I can say that I am really lucky that I have chosen to do my career in Vilnius University and that I belong to the such supportive team. And moreover, I would say that my colleagues and especially my supervisors, they actually inspire me with their ideas and their style of work. So I can say that I experienced more help and support instead of resistance. But I know that sometimes in the other scientific group, it can be different. And I saw the examples that it can be something not well.
Yeah, Well, then we can say that Vilnius University had a sort of gender equality plan even before having it, because people working there are quite open-minded and very supportive.
Actually, yes.
Yeah, but you're also quite young, so maybe it's also a change of generation that has made this huge difference in your case. In the previous podcast, I interviewed Claudine Herrmann, who unfortunately passed away last year, and she's comes from an older generation. She was born in 1945, and I remember her telling me that at the beginning she did experience resistance, and like yourself, she was also working hard, but at the same time dealing with her motherly duties. So for her, was definitely harder. And maybe the fact that you come from a post-communist country also makes a difference. I come from Serbia, and I know that in my country, at least when even my parents were students, there was a huge support for women and men having equal opportunities. So maybe this also this historical, cultural context difference when it comes to Western, Eastern countries that makes a difference in this case.
Yes, I think it can be, but also maybe my situation was different because my supervisor, he was actually quite young at that period. He was 40, 43, 45 maybe, since I started to work with Professor Romanovičius. So I think maybe he was also from the another generation, and it also impacted that he has not opinion that men do something better than women.
That's very good. You're a very lucky woman.
Actually, yes, in the part of work, I would say, yes, it's very important, actually. Not only ideas, not only the successful work, but also the support from the supervisors and mentoring. I think it's very important for women.
Okay, Jeva, I have a last question for you. We're talking about role models, and I want to ask you, do you feel like a role model? And, well, what are the responsibilities then of a role model? Are there any drawbacks? And yeah, how do you want to be seen by younger generations?
Actually, yes, I'm starting to feel like a role model, especially after I received the L'Oréal UNESCO for Women in Science Award, which one of the most important things is to show the community, the young women scientists, to show their work. And it's especially very important for young girls and for young women who are thinking about the scientific career. Because since the childhood, the girls are attacked by the information that they do not belong to the STEM field, that it's only for boys. And I really see this from the community. I am not experiencing this with my daughter at home, but I really experienced this in the society, in the kindergarten, and in many other areas in the public with my daughter. She is now 4 years old. And actually, when girls are interested in STEAM, it is very important for them to have the role models, because they are thinking that if she can, I can do also. And it is very important to have the role models, women role models, not only men, especially for the girls. So I hope that I can act successfully as a role model, and I hope that this will help the young girls. And especially I see this on my students, that they are interested in my work, and they are asking me how I'm living, how I'm working, how I'm managing everything. They are really interested in. And I hope that in the future, they also can choose the work as a scientist. And the drawbacks, actually, well, it's the responsibility. The main drawback, maybe, it's the responsibility, because you have to show that Well, sometimes it's not very easy to manage everything, to manage life as a mother, as a woman, and as a scientist.
I can imagine. I can only imagine. It must be definitely difficult, but I think that you gave a very honest answer, and I'm sure that you're going to do great as a role model for your students, your daughter, and for the past 10 years, you did impressive things. So I'm confident that you're just going to shine even more in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ieva. It was very, very nice talking to you today. And I hope you had fun. I hope also that you enjoyed this conversation with me. And again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Elena, for such a nice conversation. Actually, it is the first time I'm participating in the podcast. So one more first time. So thank you very much. It was really nice and very interesting. Thanks.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast and conversation with Ieva. If we have inspired you at least a bit, we can say that we are one inch closer to achieving our aims. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn under Spear Project. Follow us and stay tuned. The next episode will be launched very soon. Thank you for listening.